For the past few weeks, we've been going through this series that we titled Real Life, and this is our fourth session. And we've been going through a passage of scriptures in the book of Titus, and we really started in chapter 2, verse 1. It really, the heading in many of your Bibles will say qualities of a sound church. Understand the book of Titus is one of the pastoral epistles. It was written by Paul the Apostle. He wrote a couple to Timothy. He wrote this one to Titus. And so he's a young pastor, and he's telling him, look, this is what you need to do for leadership, and this is how to have a healthy church. And that's really what this teaching has been all around. It says this in verse 1, but for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And of course, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the fact that it goes on and it tells us in the next few verses to live a sober life, one that's ready to be used by the Lord, to be reverent, to be temperate, to walk in faith, in love, in patience, in good behavior, good works, integrity, sound speech, and having incorruptible lives. And we've been going through different things. You know, how many know we all have things in our lives that aren't right? How many, am I talking to the right group? There's not one of us that has arrived. And you know, many times when we talk about things that fall short of the glory of God, what he wants in our lives, sometimes we can feel condemned or something. But listen, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit of God. What God is saying is, look, you might be like this, but if you'll continue to keep your eyes fixed on me, I'm going to change you into what my word says you are. And so there's no condemnation as we've been going through this series saying, Lord, just transform me. Help me to be more like you, to live more like you, to have the life that you have for me. And it says in Titus 2:11, for the grace, say grace, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, there's that word again, righteously and godly in this present age. And so it's the grace of God that has really been brought into our lives that allows us to live a transformed life. It's not by the works that we do. It's him working in us. But what we need to do, as we found out in this series, is just surrender to him and say, today, Lord, I'm on commission. I'm on commission. I like that. To just get up in the morning and say, today, I don't know how I'm going to date myself a little bit. I know Andy will remember, probably Pastor Bob. How many remember the Blues Brothers? You remember see that movie? We're on a mission from God. Anybody remember that? Glasses and all that? You know. But the thing is, would we live our lives on a mission from God to say, Lord, you are working in me to will and do your good pleasure. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now the life I live by faith in you, not by my own works, but by faith in God, that today I'm going to make a difference in someone else's life. And we're going to talk more about that this morning. Last week, we saw verse 14 of Ephesians 5. He said, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. I think this is a call to the church, especially in America, in the times that we're living. Awake, arise from the dead, and Christ will what? Give you light. Jesus said to let our light shine. The light of the gospel of Christ will outshine everything else in my life. If we'll receive that, see, it's not me trying to get things right. It's me receiving the light of Christ. He's shining the light of his word in my life, exposing things that are not right. And then I'm saying, Lord, you're taking those things from me. You're making me more like the way you want me to be and allowing him to start to move in your life. And listen, when you and I live in that way, there's freedom, there's joy, there's hope. There's a pure faith that other people see. And tonight we're going to be talking about how your work, your job is a mission field. God has you there for a reason. And so many times we can kind of just get used to things and kind of get into the humdrum and think, well, it's just my job. I'm just going there again today. But God has a purpose for the reason that you're where you're at. If every desire, every motive in our lives were about him, we'd be so full of him, it would push everything else out. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's kind of where we left last week. It's really about appetite. Is my appetite for God or is my appetite for the things of the world? So again, not trying to get things right, but changing my appetite, starting to eat the right things spiritually. And when we do that, I'll tell you what, God just does some great things in our lives. Let's continue along those lines tonight. 2 Timothy 2:20, he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. How many feel like they got some wood, they got some clay? Hello. I'm just like mud. How many just feel like mud? You know, you really are. The Bible says that he created us out of the dust of the earth. We created Adam. He created him. It's out of the dirt. Okay, you put dirt and water together, you get mud. It says, so some of wood and clay, some of honor and dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, speaking of dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So we're cleansing ourselves, being sanctified. And some of us may not understand what the word sanctified means. It really just means set aside for service. Cleansing ourselves. How do you cleanse yourself? You fill yourself up with the presence of God. We said, I don't remember if it was last Wednesday or in our series on Sunday, we're going through a series on Sundays on spiritual warfare. And really the problem in most of our lives is not the sin in our lives. The problem is the lack of the presence of God in our lives. And if we would just be consumed with him and allow him to start to really light our life and start to fill us, like we're talking about, he would start to cleanse us from the inside out, and he would start to take those things that are dishonoring, those things that are wood and clay, and he would burn them up, and he would melt them off of us, and he would purify us for every good work. The question tonight I want to ask all of us is, do I have a desire to bring honor to the kingdom of heaven? That's a good question. Do I have a desire? The Bible says that if we delight in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. It says that he's working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do the things that please him. We're going to break that verse down a little bit later tonight. But really, so what we have to do is say, look, I want to bring honor to the kingdom. Can I see a show of hands? Who would say that? You want to bring honor to the kingdom of heaven? That's most of us. Then the other question is, am I useful for the kingdom? And if we would just say, I want to bring honor, and we would focus on him, I guarantee you, your life would be useful for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said this in Luke 14, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is really saying, look, you and I should be salt in people's lives, where we live, where we work, the places that we frequent, where we eat, where we shop. We should be the light and the salt, the seasoning to the world. But you think about salt, what is it? You know, if you take too much salt by itself, it doesn't taste good. How many know that? You know, salt is, but if you put just a little bit, it brings out the flavor and things. And that's what you and I are supposed to be. I mean, we're not supposed to be just smothering people with salt. And sometimes I think, you know, when we get the Bible out and we want to beat everybody over the head with it, that's what we're doing. But when we're allowing Christ to work on the inside of us and people think, you know what, you're flavoring things, if I can just say it that way, you're flavoring this conversation different than everybody else in our group at work, or maybe you've got someone you bowl with or do something, whatever it is you do when you do those things that you do. All right. But we're seasoning. It also, salt is used to preserve. It's used as a cure. All right. Am I living my life on a mission? Jesus says that if we're not salty, if we don't have our flavor, he says, we're not good for anything. We're good for the dunghill. Does anybody want me to tell you what dung is? Okay, I don't have to, yeah. All right, you know. This is what he says here in Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. And you and I can live an obedient life by focusing on the obedient one, which is Christ Jesus. The Bible says to take authority over every thought, hold it captive to the obedience of Christ, saying, look, Jesus, you were obedient for me, and so now I can live an obedient life because you're working in me. All right? And so we just focus on him and present ourselves as to him. But the problem is most of us just present ourselves to just live our lives the way we've always lived it, live our lives the way everybody else does, and then we kind of get trapped, if you will, by sin. We might be forgiven on our way to heaven, but we're kind of trapped by a lifestyle because we've always just believed that and kind of just lived that way. And so we really just start to live the way the rest of the world is. But God wants us to live different. See, living in sin will bring spiritual death. All right? Living in sin, allowing ourselves to just live the way we've always lived, to just live according to our natural man, is the way the Bible puts it, our carnal nature, is not what he has for us. That brings spiritual death. Because what ends up happening, let me describe it to you. When we live that way and we start to believe a lie, all right? Because that's what it is. When we're believing something that's contrary to the Word of God, we're believing something that's not true, and it's a lie, all right? All right? And so we start to believe a lie, and so then we start to see God's Word, and then we feel condemned. Are you with me? But that's not what God has for us. That's not how he wants us to live. You and I should be living spiritual lives, drawing near to God so he draws near to us. We don't have time. I'm not going to turn there, but Romans chapter 8. Read Romans chapter 8. Really, 6, 7, 8. Or awesome. If you have a struggle with putting yourself under works, and there's no condemnation here tonight, but so many times we do that to ourselves. We'll hear a message and we'll put ourselves under these works. Listen, none of us are perfect. We are all a work in progress. Is that right? You know, my mother used to say I was a piece of work, but I'm a work in progress now. Come on, somebody. And the question I think about it is what have I done with liberty? What have I done with liberty? And I was just pondering this the other day, and this is just me talking. I'm not saying this is the Spirit of God. This is me talking. And I thought, you know, there was just a huge revival, if you will, the Jesus movement in the 70s. How many remember that? You know, I didn't get saved then, but I remember it. I remember all my partying friends were like getting Bibles, and it was like, what in the world? And man, it was just crazy. And we saw a revival in this country. There was a liberty, there was a grace that was extended to us in the 70s. But now I take a look at through the 60s and the 70s, which that came out of, and there was liberty that was given to us. But you know what? That's when everyone just embraced Jesus. I mean, you had the Doobie Brothers. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Were they saved? I don't know. I don't think they all were. You got a song by a guy named Norman Greenbaum. Spirit in the sky. Was he saved? I don't know. But see, there was a whole transformation. There was this liberty that we had, and then we just got, you know, just love and flower power. How many know what I'm talking about? All right? You know, and you know, it's just like, you know, peace and love and drugs, and then it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It just kept on going. And what happened is we had this liberty, but what was the choice that we made with that liberty? I'm getting somewhere. I was pondering this. And you take a look at this country, and we took the liberty that was poured out in the 60s and the 70s, and we started to take prayer out of school because, you know, you don't need it. It's just love and peace and flower power. Come on. I mean, again, this is just me just thinking. And you think, you know, we were given liberty, but liberty used in the wrong way always brings bondage. And so here we are decades later, and we're in a state in this country. I'll tell you what, we don't know which way's up. I'm a positive, super positive person, and I think the best days for the Church of Jesus Christ are on the horizon. But we're living in times that are really unsettling. They're you know, people talk about the Great Depression and stuff, and they say we're on an economic thing coming that's way greater than that. And we can be just like the people before the Depression and say, it wouldn't happen. It's America. You know, it's grace, America. Well, I don't know. And I'm not up here to tell you what's going to happen because I'm not an expert. But it doesn't take a scientist to know what's happening in this country, turning from God, what we're doing with our money, everything. And so the question tonight that I'm trying to get somewhere with this. As I'm thinking about that, I thought, you know, we can take liberty and we can get freer, or we can take liberty and get free in the flesh and cause ourselves to be brought under bondage. Let me give you another example. You take two men who have been locked away in prison. You take one who truly is repentant and feels, man, I messed up, and boy, when I get out, I'm going to make a difference. You take another one who just can't wait to get out, and they both get released. One goes and hangs out with all his old buddies and ends up back in prison because he was still in bondage in his heart. And when he got liberty, he was still in bondage, so he got locked back up. When the other person had true liberty, when he got freedom, he lived a transformed life. Does that make sense to you tonight? And so it's really, if our life is not as free as the Bible says it should be, that's okay. Stay free in your spirit. Don't allow yourself to get under bondage. Don't put yourself under works of the flesh. Surrender to God and allow God to start to work in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Titus 2:9, he says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity and that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Some of us here tonight, we have a hard time just serving in the place that we work. You say, I need more grace. You've got all the grace that you need. If you and I would just take the place that we work and say, that's my mission field, and I know I'm not perfect, Lord, but today as I focus on you, you're going to do something great in my life. You and I really in our work, should be the best employees, and that's what Titus is saying. Look, if you want to have qualities for a sound church, you and I should be allowing Jesus to transform us, and then we should be serving in the places that we work. A bondservant, by the way, is someone who served out of love. So it really translates to an employee, if you will, for us. And so he's saying, look, go and work hard. Don't steal. Sometimes we steal time. Sometimes we, you know, if you're on Twitter and Facebook, you probably shouldn't be. Say grace. And tonight, if that's you, allow Christ to transform you from the inside. I think what he's asking us is, am I a good investment for my employer? Am I, and I'm not telling you to be reading your Bible all day long, but be a living epistle, all right? When we take the grace of God like I just described and allow him to make me free, now I'm free and people see that freedom. I don't have to have my Bible open on my desk all day long. Yeah, you know, I'm that Christian everybody warns you about. Well, they warned you all about that person for a reason, all right? Now, if you can read your Bible or whatever on your break, read your Bible. But listen, be a living sacrifice. And the way we're a living sacrifice, again, I'm gonna say this over and over again until we get it. It's not trying to make my life better. It's surrendering to God. Listen, getting up tomorrow and saying, today I'm on mission. I'm on a mission from God. Get your sunglasses on. Get your whole Blues Brothers getup on if you need to. And live your life on a mission. What does God want me to do with my life of liberty that I've now received? Because here's what people think Christianity is. People think Christianity is, well, I give my heart to Christ, and now I need to not do this, not do that. I got to do that. Can't drink, can't smoke, can't chew, can't do all these different things. And we're so busy getting right with God that we don't help anybody else find God. What they see is religion, and they think, I don't want that. But if we'll receive freedom and realize he's working in me, I'm a work in progress. Are you with me tonight? And just let all that stuff go and don't live under the bondage of sin. Say, I'm not there yet, but Lord, I'm believing that these things are going to line up. I'm believing my lifestyle, Lord, it's not quite right, but I'm trusting you for it right now. I'm not going to just let it go. I'm going to let you change me from the inside. In Colossians, he talks about employees, again, calling them bondservants. We could really translate it to employees. Again, I wanted to talk tonight a little bit about honoring God with our work and living as epistles, as light in a dark place. He says in verse 22, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. A key to being a light in the place that you work is to realize you work for God. You and I work for God. Our life is for God. Our work, everything that we do is for him. Knowing that from the Lord you receive a reward. You know, the Lord is going to reward you. You may be in a job and you say, man, they don't pay me enough to put up with this stuff. The Lord will pay you if your attitude is correct and you allow him to work in you while you're in that situation. It says you're going to receive a reward, an inheritance, because you serve the Lord, verse 25, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he does, and there is no partiality. So, all right? Work hard with a good attitude. Work for God. The way that you and I view our job is extremely, extremely important. Because we really think that our job is just for us. Just for us to be happy, and certainly there should be fulfillment in our work. I think you and I should try to really pray seriously when entering the workforce about what it is that God has us to do. Because there's nothing worse than spending 30, 40 years or more working in a job that you just can't stand, that you're not really made to do. All right? But get in a job that we like and pursue that. And maybe you have something you need to pay the bills with and stuff now, because the Bible says God will increase you no matter what. We'll look at that in a minute. But trust the Lord with your progress and allow him to promote you where you're at. But it's all about attitude, and I'm not saying this is easy. Sometimes it's not easy for some of us because we're saying, well, you know, I'm not perfect yet anyway. You don't have to be. How could I ever lead somebody to Christ? Again, get up on mission. Live your life on mission. Honor God in the place that you work. Believe him for a promotion. Believe him for better pay. I mean, I don't have time to get into it, but I've shared from this pulpit times that Trish and I, you know, there's times I've had pay taken away from me. There's times I've almost never been outright fired, but very close. But taken my pay was taken away. I've taken cuts in pay. I've taken jobs for nothing. I have. Moved my whole family. And it wasn't because we had enough savings to live on. We had some, but that, you know, that is not a good plan. Let me just tell you that. But we knew God spoke to us. I mean, we knew that. I'm not telling you, don't make that move unless you have a little bit of a history of trusting God. Because you need to really work. You know, listen, if anyone's standing here, and I'm going to be the first, I'm up here, that says that they hear the voice of the Lord perfect every time, I don't trust you. Because sometimes we hear it right, sometimes we don't. But we continue to work on it, and we start to get a track record, so we know his voice. Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice. Where was I with that? Oh, yeah. And we're working and we're focusing on whatever job we have and allowing God to not only promote us from where we are, but as we're being promoted, trusting him that we're a light shining in a dark place. And listen, if we don't view our lives like this, we're going to waste our life. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I just work this job and then God will get me to a place where I can be a missionary or something. And some are called to be missionaries to other places, but we're all called to be missionaries where we are. And if we're always looking for the next day, we won't be a light where we are today because we'll be consumed with the job that we hate, not making enough money. Come on, somebody. I mean, really, and that's where most of us live. And so we're not able to let our light shine in a dark place. We're there for God and for the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 4:28, he says, let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give. Say give. To give him who has need. You know, your job, my job, is not just for us. In fact, it's really so that God can channel blessing through our lives to provide for our family. That's one thing, and we'll see that in a minute. But you know that one of the reasons you and I have a job is to give to people who have need. That's why we like doing things like we're doing right now. So many times Christians say, well, you know, it's just my money. And the problem is when we start to view things that way, we have bought into what I'll just call a spirit of mammon. We have bought into thinking that money is what it's all about. And when we live that way, it's very hard to trust the Lord with really every area of our life. See, our work gives us the ability to provide for our family and others, giving us an opportunity to be able to share with those who are in need, to be able to give to a church organization like this that reaches out, to be able to give to missions abroad, whatever God puts on our heart, all right? But it also says in 1 Timothy 5:8, those who don't care for their own relatives, especially those living in the same household, have denied what we believe. Such people are worse than unbelievers. See, we need to take care of our families. It's our responsibility to work and to pay bills. But listen, if we don't put God first in believing that we're supposed, and you know, we talk about giving in this church a lot, so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on this. But if we're in a situation and we're not honoring God with first fruits or with the best of all of our increase, we're going to be on that treadmill a long time. And even if we get some kind of promotion or a raise, we're still going to be on a financial treadmill because we're forgetting one of the primary purposes that God has given us a job. All right? If we think our money is just ours, we have believed the lie that, again, I'll call the spirit of mammon. And Jesus put it this way. I didn't have this in my notes, Will, but if you can put this up, New Living Translation, Matthew 6:24. New Living Translation, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. I'm going to stop there because this is and if you'll be honest with yourself, this is true because if you're not honoring God with your money, when I talk about this, you get mad at me. Because it's impossible to trust God and money. And so we just kind of stiffen our necks and say, no, I'm not receiving that because you can't serve both. This is true. This is the word. All right. Okay, he says, you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And somebody may say, well, pastor, that's your interpretation. Look, I'll throw down with anybody. This is what the Bible says over and over again. There's no interpretation. This is just one scripture, but there's many. My life is not my own, neither is yours. All right. And so when we don't honor God in this way, it's very hard for us to be the kind of influence and the light that we're supposed to be. I'll just say this. It's okay to go for the gold, but don't start to worship the gold rather than worshiping God. Does that make sense to you? I mean, go for as much money as you can. Believe God for lots of it. But listen, if you don't honor God first, you may get lots of it, but that's going to be it for you. It's just going to be that lots of money. And you won't have the reward that God has for you in every other area of your life. Jesus says that when we honor him with our finance, that he'll bless us in ways that are way beyond financial blessings. We see this time and time again through scriptures. But he tells us if we're going to be effective, if we're going to live, remember, we're talking about qualities for a sound church. Sometimes we think of things like just say, well, pastor just talked about work tonight. If that's all we got out of this, we miss the point. The point tonight is to let your light shine, to realize you're going to be spending, I don't have the stats in front of me, but you're going to be spending most of your life working, okay? you're probably going to be spending more hours working than sleeping. You're definitely spending more hours working than you are free time. All right? So make it count. Don't think it's just for you. You'll be frustrated at best. But if we start to say, I'm on a mission from God, remember Blues Brothers? Come on. On a mission from God, and start to honor God and start to let my light shine, start to honor God with my finances, all those kinds of things. It will release me from the spirit of mammon, and it will help us to trust God. I think we're heading for times. Listen, we have got to learn how to trust God with our finances, because I believe there's going to be a huge shift in finances coming very soon to a nation near you. You say, well, Pastor, how can you talk that way? We can't get scared of that stuff. We can't deny it. I mean, you can't just bury your head in the sand. I mean, there's you take a look at, I mean, the debt that we have, it's incredible. So if we don't understand and allow ourselves to get free of the spirit of mammon, when the stuff hits the fan, it's going to be hard for us to believe God, because things will not be like they used to be. All right? Say, well, Pastor, well, God will be faithful in all that. God will provide. God has not forgotten how to make manna pizza. All right? He'll take care of us. But we've got to learn how to trust him first. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you just want our money. No, I want you to learn how to trust God with your life. And I know the Bible teaches us over and over again that part of that really is starting with our finance, starting with our jobs, understanding why we have work. We have work. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God will bless the work of our hands. If you don't work, you don't get blessed. But then when I get blessed, what do I do with what he's blessed me with, so that I don't start to serve and worship a spirit of mammon? And sometimes we may not even be aware of it, but I'm telling you, if we just ignore this kind of preaching time and time and time and time again, what ends up happening is we become numbed. We talked about this Sunday. When we don't listen to God's voice in an area, our relationship with him in that area becomes non-existent. And that may seem kind of hard for some people, but listen, what happens is we start to just harden our heart to that area. I know the word says it, but that's not for me. That's not for me. Surely that's not for me. And pretty soon it's like, well, you know, I feel comfortable with it. Well, that doesn't mean it's okay. Just because we've grown comfortable in that doesn't mean it's okay. It's an area that God wants to set us free in. Okay. Let's talk about this a little bit. It says here, remind them, this is Titus 3, to be subject to rulers and authorities, obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. See, you and I should respect every authority that God places in our lives. It tells us in Psalm 75, 6 and 7, we're not going to turn there, Psalm 75, 6 and 7, if you want to jot it down. It says, all promotion comes from God. He exalts one, he takes another down. All promotion comes from God. So anyone that's in a place of authority has been put there by God. We may say, well, I don't like that leader, and I don't like this senator or congressperson or a president or whatever. God put that person there. In this country, we voted them. And we may not agree with their agenda, and that's okay, but we need to honor, and there's a reason people get elected in this country. It's because, well, I don't want to get going. Pray tomorrow for this country. I don't want to get too much off track with this. But the thing is, you and I shouldn't be speaking evil of anybody. We shouldn't be whining and crying about the mess that we have in this country. We should be praying and asking God to show us how to live so that when the mess gets worse, we can trust him. Extend grace and mercy to other people. 1 Peter 2, he says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We submit to the ordinance of men for whose sake? The Lord's sake. Because he submitted. Remember, the Bible says that he humbled himself to the point of a servant. And then he came and humbled himself to a cross. This is one who is equal with God, the Bible tells us. Jesus is God. We believe in Godhead, three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not going to spend a bunch of time on it. We've taught on that before. That's what we believe here. So God, Jesus, humbled himself to the point of the cross for you and I. So it says in verse 14, governors, those who are sent by him to punish evildoers for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence ignorance of foolish men. And listen, you and I should vote and we should stand up for what is right and what is wrong. But understand, ultimately, unless we're called into politics, we're not called to be political activists necessarily. That is not really, you know, I know on Facebook everybody's a political genius, but... You know, most of us, you know, we should be praying for our leaders. Because here's what, God wants to exalt Christian leaders into position for us. All of us don't need to be necessarily the ones who are on our political soapbox all the time. And that may be your call, but it's not everybody's. But we are called to respect. We are called to honor. We're called to pray. Because here's the reason. It says in 2 Timothy 2, he says, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Listen, you and I should just be working on our relationship with God, growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Bible tells us over and over again, to grow in grace. Growing in grace is something we're supposed to do. But as we're growing in grace, we're working on our relationship with the Lord. We're extending grace to other people. We're extending gentleness to other people who don't agree with us. Matter of fact, we're not going to turn to it, but the very next verse here, it says that people who disagree with the ways of Christ have been taken captive by Satan to do his will. Remember, we've been talking on Sundays. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Our spiritual war is with principalities and powers of darkness. We should be praying and extending love and grace to people. I mean, you know, so many times we'll go to a place we work, let's say, or somewhere, and someone doesn't agree with us, and boy, we just stiffen our neck towards this person. Now, that person may not be nice, and maybe you can't sit down and have coffee break with them every day. Come on. But we should be extending grace to them, not allowing them to get inside our head, letting that spirit get inside our head, I should say. Titus 3. But when the kindness and the love of our Lord Jesus, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly, say abundantly, through Jesus Christ. Listen, you and I should be renewing our minds, not conforming to the world, not acting like the world, but allowing God to work on the inside of us, regenerating us, renewing us, pursuing us as we pursue him. And really, we're just caught up in this love affair with God. Where we're like, there's things I don't understand, God, and things are messing with me, but man, I love my time with you. But so much of the time, we don't even hunger for our time with him because we haven't trained ourselves to do that. And we need to. Titus 3, verse 7, he says, then having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. See, grace will bring a kingdom mentality. What do I mean by that? It means you and I start to say, my life is different. It's, again, living my life on mission. So living in the life of grace starts to bring a kingdom mentality. I know that I'm not my own. I know that I have a part to play, even in a body of believers. I have a part to play in the place that I work, in the store that I go to, in the restaurant that I eat in. See, I'm pursuing and I'm thinking God thoughts because I am not of this world. I am of a kingdom that is not of this world. I heard somebody put it this way. See, when we get brought from death into life, as the Bible says, we go from death into life when we come into Christ. It's really like being... taken really from one country to another country. Let me just put it that way. And if you were to go to a country where you couldn't speak the language, you would have no idea what they were saying. And so many times we get converted, if you will, we're brought into this other country, the kingdom of heaven, then we don't take time to learn the language, and so we don't know what's being said, we don't understand what's going on, and so we don't live our lives the way we should. We kind of, oh, I don't know, you know, that sounds good, but I'm not sure because I believe this all my life and this feels okay. Rather than looking to what the Bible says and asking him to start to really persuade us, start to change us, start to work from the inside out. See, if you and I were just pursuing the Word a lot more and pursuing God, we wouldn't live legalistic lives. Here's what so many of us do. We get a few truths, we learn a couple of words in this new language, and then we just beat everybody else up with it. That's legalism. But when we're starting to spend time with our Heavenly Father, we're learning the language of grace. And as we're learning the language of grace, God starts to work in us to will and do His good pleasure, giving us the desire and the power to do the things that please Him. Oh, I wonder, kind of running out of time. I want to get to one thing that I just want to show you. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Will, let me find what I want to read for you. Now let's just move ahead. We can get to this. John 8. Here's what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to him, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things." This is the language of heaven, all right? "And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please Him." Again, it's not about us working and willing on our own, but it's God working in us as we start to learn the language of grace, if you will. Do I speak what God speaks? 2 Corinthians 4:13, we're not going to turn there. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says we have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. So we're believing God's word and we're speaking over our finances. We're speaking over the place that we work. We're speaking over promotion. We're honoring God. We're submitting all the things we've been talking about over the past few weeks. We're speaking over whatever it is that we're not lined up with the word of God and applying our faith there. So we're speaking. And then Hebrews 11:6, stay with me, it says to please God that we must use faith, because when we use faith, we please God. So what we're doing is we have the desire of God, that's His word, delight in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. We're desiring God's word, we're speaking God's word, that's the language of God, the language of faith. And then when we walk in faith, we please God. And that's why you hear me quote this scripture all the time, Philippians 2:13. I love the scripture. It's one of my favorite. You hear it all the time. That God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do the things that please Him. He's giving us desire. That's through His word. Are you with me? You meditate on the word. You're learning the language of grace. You're falling in love with your Heavenly Father. He's giving you a desire to start to see things from His perspective. And then He gives you the power to do the things that please Him. And that's faith. Does that make sense? And so we're applying faith, and we're living this life out with the grace that God has given to us. It's not about works. It's not about the law. It's not about that kind of stuff, and I don't have any more time. We'll see how far. Maybe we can continue this in a couple of weeks. But I hope that helps you tonight. I want to pray for you. Father, tonight I just pray that each and every one of us, by the Spirit of the living God, would start to hear Your voice clearly like never before, that we would live our lives on mission from You, that we would start to see Your word as something that